This is Mariel Kanan from Obsidian Shores.
This is Chet, a.k.a. Sir Chet from Obsidian Shores.
This is Wyvern from Obsidian Shores.
Hey, I'm Lily from the Obsidian Shores PW, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting. Wow, where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And I'm Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Slow Dive Fan.
And you're listening to episode 101, the Neverwinter Nights Community Podcast.
The only Neverwinter Nights podcast devoted to everything related to the RPG Neverwinter Nights game series.
Later in the show, we have the persistent world Obsidian Shore.
Yes, an excellent guest of Sir Chet bringing those folks on to our show with us.
Yes. Chet assisted in the interview and answered some questions. And
he's a regular player there.
Yeah, he is. Also, the participants in the interview did an excellent job. They were very informative. And maybe you'll want to go check out their persistent world after you hear them talk tonight.
And of their contest they have going on there, too.
Oh, what contest was that?
Let's folks listen to the interview. But if you ever go check out the Obsidian Shore Persistent World, tell them Skunk Keen sent you, please.
Tonight we also have a special thanks and warm welcomes to GQ Tracker, who has offered to put on his news hat and become the Neverwinter Nights podcast roving reporter. He has provided news for episode 101.
Wicked. Welcome to the team, GQ Tracker.
Yes, welcome to the team. Go, Skunk. Next one.
Also, Listru has offered his graphic artist awesomeness, wickedness for the show. And you'll see his first submission with this week's release of episode 101. So give him some feedback on his graphic art, please. And that'll help Trey determine what kind of pay rate to give him.
Yeah, when you're going from zero, you can only go, well, to zero.
Oh, we're also welcome to the team also, Listru.
Yes, both of you, welcome to the team. I do believe Listru is GQ Tracker's son, so it's a father and son team.
Oh, that'll work out great.
Yeah. Tracker can, you know, keep tabs on his son, make sure, you know, he's doing his job, or vice versa. However that seems to work in that family, I don't know. Tonight, news by GQ Tracker, something a little interesting. There is a YouTube video, or actually, I don't know if it's YouTube or not. There is a girl in France who's actually promoting the Neverwinter Nights 2 game. We can't really understand her. Those of you who may speak French or understand at least enough of it to comprehend what she's saying. She is promoting the Neverwinter Nights 2 game, and it's in video, and I just thought it was pretty nifty. And there is more females out there playing the game.
How do we know she's promoting it? She could be.
She is holding up the game and everything. I hope she's not dissing it. That would really stink. But
yeah, she's kind of like itching her face, though. You know, like maybe she's uncertain, you know. But we should get like Alban from the IRC.
He or hangs out there. Patterson.
Yeah, that have him tell something. The next bit of news is from the NWN Modern D20 team. And this was submitted by GQ Tracker. Thanks again, mate. And there's a video being uploaded to spotlighting a D20 modern hack pack that utilizes the NWN1 engine. So this isn't for NWN2, but here's a link, and I'll put it in IRC, and you'll find it in our show notes also. Let's see.
And we actually need to put several links in for that, the CEP, the D20 Modern,
mm-hmm.
the Vault link.
Yeah, which really, Dave is a big fan of it, and I guess really feel like it doesn't really get as much attention into the community of all the different story possibilities you could do to extend Neverwinter Nights, one, beyond just a fantasy fairy tale story. I think you have futuristic adventures too with it. Check out the latest from D20 team with that link, folks.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat what Taipei said, but that was pretty funny. For those of you who have not joined the IRC during the live streaming, there's a lot of action going on from the listeners in IRC, and you miss out on the whole experience. There's some things we can't quite repeat because, well, it's in recording. But joining the IRC during live stream is definitely an event.
Well, it's not like we have, like, potty mouths or anything. We're pretty creative enough to not need any swear words.
Hey, so. Skunk, did you say that with a straight face?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, scary.
We don't swear over the live feed. That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't, actually. Yeah. But I also don't make graphic innuendo like some people I know. Well, not often, anyway.
Well, details are good.
So, that's the end of our news.
For this section?
Yeah.
And well, we can present an interview.
Yes, we could.
All right, folks. Enjoy the Obsidian Shore interview. Hello, everyone. Joining Michelle and Trey and myself today, we have Sir Chet, a.k.a. Chet, Dark Oak, a.k.a. Lily, Ravern, a.k.a. Matt, and Muriel Cannon, a.k.a. MK. These folks run the Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world, Obsidian Shore, where a world of good versus evil isn't so black and white. Welcome to the show, folks, and would you please introduce yourselves and tell us how you got into Neverwinter Nights.
Hey, I'm Dark Oak. I go by Lily. I got into Neverwinter Nights when I was in middle school. I started playing on Neverwinter Nights 1, and I really enjoyed the campaign and the story, and so when Neverwinter Nights 2 came out, of course, I got into that too. And I was looking for something more and got into the PWs, and then I decided to try building because I enjoyed modeling. And somehow I ended up on Obsidian Shore building.
Cool. Welcome.
This is Matt, also known as Wyvern76. I grew up playing the Pen and Paper Dungeons and Dragons, so I had that background. Of course, I enjoyed Neverwinter Nights 1 until Neverwinter Nights 2 came out. I bounced around a couple PWs out there and eventually ended up joining the staff of Obsidian Shores as the one and only scripter so far.
And a damn fine one at that.
Yeah, everybody likes scripters, don't they?
I love ours.
Oh, I thought you said strippers. I'm sorry.
They're both good.
Matt, you're a stripper as well?
No.
Sorry.
All right, well, my name is Mariel Kanan. I've been playing PNP Dungeons and Dragons since I was 12. God, I don't like math, so I'm not going to do the math. I'm just going to say it's been well over 25 years. Got into playing Neverwinter Nights like the last year that it was out, last year before Neverwinter Nights 2 came out. Obviously, got that because I like Neverwinter Nights. Hopped around between several PWs, DM'd a lot, learned a little bit of scripting, learned a little bit of modding. I can do a little bit of everything, but I mastered nothing. So
he's like a shaman.
Or a bard. This is Chet, a.k.a. Sir Chet, and they let me hang out over at the Persistent World, where I help a little bit sometimes when I get enough right.
Chet actually is the one voice of experience with the community as a whole, and he's been very helpful in that regard.
Yeah, I am the plaster that fills in the little cracks. That's it, yeah.
Okay, so exactly what do y'all mean when y'all say that Obsidian Shores is a world where good versus evil isn't so black and white?
Well, for the most part, we've had a lot of evil. And the evil is mostly an evil versus evil sort of situation. And it's hard to pick out exactly who is evil versus who is good, because the evil is doing a lot of things that might look like they're good. And a lot of the good guys are actually doing something that kind of looks evil. So it's really kind of hard to pick out who is evil and who is good and who's doing what exactly, because there's a lot of people who are in secret organizations or doing things subvertly, and they don't want you to know what they're doing, so yeah.
Interesting.
Kind of like guilds.
Have a question.
Yeah, we have a lot of guilds.
I have like two good examples of that. Well, the government itself is fairly evil and kind of tyrannical. So what happens when a paladin joins the guard? You know, it's run by an evil government, but the paladin is trying to be good. There's a lot of conflict there. Or if there's a corrupt guard who's, you know, causing harm to the populace, and the assassin decides they want to go kill them, is that evil? But it's an evil act. So it's pretty convoluted and pretty interesting.
And when everything gets confusing, just look for a dwarf, because they're usually the good guys.
Except because for Delinus.
Because they're too dumb to be evil, right?
I have a question to throw in there. A lot of other Persistent Worlds have some conflicts dealing with a lot of evil-based characters. So what does your Persistent World do differently to pull it off better than some other Persistent Worlds out there with such an amount of evil player base?
Really bloody assassinations?
Our biggest thing is that we actually try to talk things out of character first before we make any in-character actions. It's not so much the fact that we go through and we say that, I'm going to kill you. What do you think? No, we actually try and discuss it and make sure that there's not going to be any hard feelings if an action is taken before it's taken.
I think the big difference between most of the worlds is it's all under the surface. Everybody's trying to maintain a half-decent facade, at least, to cover their evil actions, which makes it more confusing than usual.
Okay, so tell us more. What are some of the other features of the world?
Let's talk about some of our custom scripting.
Okay. Everyone has an amazing spawn script. And it's really fun.
That's actually how I actually ended up as a scripter for Obsidian Shores. I had been pitching this concept of a semi-random scaling encounter table to several other PWs, and they all said either it was impossible, it couldn't be done, or it was just stupid. And eventually I got fed up one day, and I opened the tool set for the very first time and hammered it out in a day or two, and bam, we have our custom encounter tables, we like to call them. And it's been like one of the key features of our world ever since. I think it's worked out really well.
I think no one has touched on yet, but Obsidian Shore is a very dangerous place for a player. So when they come, they need to seek out parties and not to go run off into the woods on their own.
I've made a lot of the newer monsters and foe, and we give them full hit points, we give them full skill points, we give them full feats. We try to, you know, work with what we know the AI is going to do. And we give them items that they can use. We give them the ability to use the items that spawn in with them for player loot. And they're brutal.
Yeah, it's mean. By compare, it seems like a lot of worlds have, you know, going out to kill orcs is like going to the convenience store to pick up some beer. It's just like a chore you do. It's nail biting every time you go out on our world right now.
And it's something you don't do alone. You have happened to party up because you meet more people that way. And what's the reason of playing on a persistent world if you're not going to interact with other humans when you're playing the game?
There's actually a part of the encounter script that counts the party members, and it actually makes it harder if you're soloing. The reason being that a monster is more likely to try to pick you off if you're by yourself. So we encourage the partying at the very fundamental level.
Didn't you also alter the experience reward when you're solo as opposed to when you're partied up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is when you are in a party, we actually made the XP favor parties so that you get more experience that way. Because it gives... Wyvern, did you say it gives some kind of a bonus to it? Or?
Oh, it's no. It averages out in the favor. It's kind of strange. If you're a higher level character and you're soloing, you're going to get like 1 or 0 XP from almost all monsters. However, if you go find a party of more moderate levels, you'll find out they start getting comparatively reasonable and XP to make you happy. And it's because you're in a party and you're helping others that aren't quite so high level. But beyond the encounters and the XP and the grinding type thing, I'm pretty proud that we added the foraging and harvesting systems, which I think are pretty interesting.
Can you please tell us the backstory of the world and how it was developed?
Well, Poison wrote the original backstory and lore of the server. And she started with Impiltor, which is a small nation on the Sea of Stars. It was a really hard year with farming and trading, and everything was just going poorly, and so the people revolted. And the queen, in order to make them happy and to boost their trade, decided to start off 3 different colonies. And we're staged at one of the colonies that she set up. And she sent 3 different noble houses away, one of them being her cousin and 2 others being 2 lower nobles. And she sent a lot of the rebels away over to this colony to kind of appease them, to make them happy, and to put them out of somewhere where they could do something harmful. And it just kind of went from there.
So who all are the staff that keep the world maintained and the players happy?
Who maintains the world and keeps it happy? I actually host the physical server and do the day-to-day maintenance. And I also... and personally held accountable for all the Neverwinter Nights key bugs, so I do have that on my shoulders.
Well, I think he causes a lot of the Neverwinter Night 2 bugs. I think you had a lot to do with the game actually being manufactured and such. We know it was you.
How long has your world been up?
Just over a year now. We opened last May 1st.
Oh, cool.
Or just under a year.
How many players do y'all have? On average?
It's been average about 5 right about now. A little bit lower than over winter when kids were on break.
For a while, we were boasting quite a few players at the same time. But it has drawn down a little bit.
Yeah, near 20.
Roller coaster the whole time.
But that's how it is in a lot of persistent worlds. People come in, they really get they get enamored right off the beginning, but then they drift off.
So you ran him off, Chet?
Well, I tried to.
I'm joking.
I was going to say, yeah, I just mainly do the DMing, and I do a little stuff here and there where I can, but mainly I'm the DM. I'm the one who's in-game and trying to make interesting stuff happen, so that's pretty much what I do.
Scavar is a very strong asset for the server, but he couldn't make it with us tonight.
What does he do?
He's a dungeon master and largely a moderator. He moderates the forums and the IRC a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
all around
the guy. Yeah. He's an enjoyable dungeon master. I've heard really good reports from the players from him for most of the things that he does. So
I will second that.
How long did it take to build your persistent world, and what were some of your challenges and your most triumphant moments?
Since I was here from the beginning, I guess I should answer that. It actually only took 3 months from concept to original launch.
Wow.
But, of course, you know, there are daily, you know, daily work put into it, but it was only 3 months from conception to launch. Well, I was the last of the original crew to join the staff, and I basically told them, look, if you can keep it in-house forever, but you might not ever launch it, it might never be done. So I kind of kicked them in the butt and said, let's get this thing out.
Other than that, it's a constantly building and constantly moving world, and we're always adding new things, and we're always updating it. So
major updates every 6 weeks or so.
To elaborate, do you have any like favorite areas that you've built yourselves, or that someone else has built that you really like?
I know Wyvern's favorite. Wyvern really likes. We have a waterfall area that Poison made, and Wyvern always talks about how much he loves it.
It looks like Yosemite National Park.
I really like the area with the wrecked ship where it's on the coast.
So are you looking for more staff, and how would they contact you?
We are always open for more staff. We accept applications for staff on the forums. We have an announcement about that up on our forums that you can reference, and it'll lead you from there.
A note about the staff, and I'm kind of like underdog proud of this, is all the original staff, and I think all the staff since, have been complete noobs to building, or mostly to building, and to PW. So we're kind of proud that we've got come as far as we have with no experienced staff joining us.
In your PW, do you strictly have DM'd events, or do you have like quests for people to run around and do, and that sort of environment?
Oh, what a shame. I'm hanging my head if you could see it.
we do.
We've always intended to have at launch 12 scripted quests for players to do when nothing else is going on, or to get a party. And they worked in alpha, they worked in beta, and then one of our staff builders on player suggestion changed it for launch, and it hasn't worked since. I am completely ashamed and frustrated over the topic of quests.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
That is literally my darkest shame as far as the server goes.
But we have other neat things, though. We have a billboard in the town center where you can walk up and leave notes for someone else and read other people's notes.
That's kind of nifty.
What was your most exciting time on the server?
Oh, God, there's been a lot. Let's see. There was one event. It wasn't even really an event. It was like a player-run thing where I was actually literally shaking afterwards. We were all discussing about what to do with one of our problems. One of the good problems for the evil characters on the server, and we ended up actually setting him up and killing him, but it took us like, oh, I would say maybe a good 3 months to actually get all the planning done for it so he didn't suspect we was doing it. So, yeah, literally at the end of that, I was actually shaking because it was a very intense event.
What happened?
Died.
let's see. What actually happened? Basically, my character, I play a halfling by the name of Allie. And she is actually an assassin who doesn't actually kill people. She sets people up to be killed.
Ooh. And,
she basically went through about... went through different scenarios of how to set this guy up. He basically, the only thing he did was he made her mad once. And she started talking to the Thieves Guild about some stuff. It didn't fly over very well. Well, no, it doesn't anymore, does it? But no. It didn't fly over too well, so she started talking with some other characters and started making up lies towards the guy. I mean, flat-out lies, but, you know, they worked and people believed them. And by the end of it, everybody was ready to just kill him. And they had set it up to where my character was to lead him out to a certain area. She got him out there and everything, and basically the ambush happened from there. And he didn't last very long. There was, like, five people, I believe, there who was waiting for him. And as soon as he come through the area, they all jumped him from behind, and he was appalled at first. Now he looks back at it and he laughs at it. But yeah, really fun times.
Cool.
On a lighter note, I can remember a time when a small dwarven druid went for a ride on a dragon's back and danced with a bunch of wet women on an island by the waterfall.
I remember that too.
And that was very memorable.
Just the fact that it's a dwarven druid is funny.
He dyes. He rubs plants on his beard to make it green. Him and his bear Juju. He's fun. He's a lot of fun. But the DM we had for that experience was just unbelievable. It was fantastic. Was that you, MK?
No, that was not me. That was actually, if I remember correctly, it wasn't Dossie. I can't remember the name of the DM who it was. I know it wasn't me, but I was there for it. And as soon as the dragon popped up, my character took off.
The squealing and the screaming as the dragon swooped over the mountain tops, and yeah, it was good.
Okay, Matt, did you have an exciting time?
Oh, the event I ran that I'm most proud of, I thought was interesting. And I'm not a full-time DM. I just hop in sometimes. There are some new players, and they're fairly low level, but they're playing the typical badass PCs. So I got our resident innocent halfling merchant to ask them to go collect flowers for them, and they scoffed at the idea of collecting flowers. However,
I remember that.
Yeah, they all died at one point, and what I was proud of was, as a DM, I only was controlling the one character. I didn't spawn anything. Do anything. The server provided all the excitement, and every thought it was all scripted. So I was pretty proud. I mean, they collected the flowers. You know, the monsters came right when they should have. It was pretty. And the the badass characters stopped quipping about collecting the flowers and being a sissy.
Well, one of them likes to pick flowers.
Puckle does.
Mm-hmm. And talk to magic bunnies.
I just thought that was different than your typical, go kill something quest or whatever you see on most areas.
Warlord's character collects flowers all the time, too. She's a Sunite priestess.
Oh.
We have flowers you can pick in the wild. It's the actual scripted thing in the game.
Tell us a little more, Matt, about those the herbs and stuff when you pick them and you can turn them into things.
Oh, yeah. There's an entire, we call it the harvest system, and in the natural wilds or the caves, the appropriate plants and such will just appear, timed out, and if you have the proper skills, you can collect them, and they can be used in crafting later, or just as some sort of magical properties just right there. Like, you can collect reeds and turn them into reed darts. Kind of MacGyver style. There's a lot of flowers that have little properties. It's pretty interesting.
My most embarrassing moment on the server was when I attempted to to fill in as DM, and I messed up an area because I changed someone's appearance, and everyone that entered that area after that had a mirror image of what I had changed, like a shadow. Do you guys remember that in the just outside the town?
Oh, whenever he looked like a demon-possessed thing after they walked through?
Yes, they had their own little demon coming out of them.
That
was me. Thank you very much.
Okay, anybody else have any most embarrassing moments?
About an hour and a half ago, I accidentally deleted the server.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. I was saving on the actual running server, PW files, and it blue screened. And when I came back, stuff didn't load. So I spent the last hour and a half trying to get the backup and then manually doing the last 2 weeks of updates and then get it running.
Crap.
Is that embarrassing or is that just downright frustrating?
That's just another day in Wyvern's life.
It's embarrassing and it's frustrating.
Does that happen all the time? Or not? Maybe not all the time, but often?
No.
Oh, okay.
Blue screen while it was saving, how often does that happen?
While we're at it, Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about that Uber server that you put together?
Oh, the 16 gigahertz server?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everybody always says you need a bigger server, so I recently got the a quad-core overclocked to 4 gigahertz per... it should be more than enough for anything we need to do.
I feel like Tim Taylor should be coming on going, ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah.
Hey, the power was out in the neighborhood and the server kept running, so that was pretty impressive too. So.
Lag does not exist on Obsidian Shore.
Really? Wow.
On server side.
We challenge you to log on.
Gene was having us look for that one day count? Huh? Does it work?
Yes,
does
that it? Counts. Does it?
Oh yes. My god, not that event. Okay, we'll tell about this one.
Well, that one counts.
I play a very precocious halfling named Gene, and often, you know, as a player, I have to think of some reason to get the other players together and go out on an adventure. So I said that Gene was subcontracted to go collect Phallus and Nomasai in the wild.
From giants.
So
then we found out what it was. So
what exactly are those?
Phallus and Nomasai.
Are they mushrooms?
From hill giants.
What from hill giants?
They're penises.
Oh my gosh.
I opened the door, you just walked right
through. 3 foot innocent looking woman going around talking about Phallus and Nomasai that she needs to collect them. So, you know, and I always put it in italics in-game, and then the party members never know what's going on until we get there. And then they're like, oh my god. As, you know, she emotes lifting up the loincloth and slicing, you know. Pretty.
Oh my god.
You still need to collect 2 more to fill the contract, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned in the show before that when we noticed that Obsidian Shore was having a contest giving away Mask of the Betrayer, like I think maybe a couple, maybe 6 months ago or seven. But do you have any other ongoing contests or any upcoming DM events happening on Obsidian Shore?
All we had to do is have one player write one essay, and they would have won the copy. Nobody bothered.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, we got like 10 new players out of it, so it was win-win.
And don't we have a contest going right now for a video card?
That will be launched soon. I'm going to call that the Open House Party Contest. We're actually going to be giving away a very high-end ATI 3870 video card.
Wow.
We're also giving away a copy of Storm Is It Here, too. But you got to stop by at least the forum to find out.
So the contest is going to be a full house contest where we try to get as many people as we can into the server, and then, like, the 20th player to stay on for an hour wins the card. is going to be what the contest format will be.
Okay. So now I see on the form right here, invite a friend and win a copy of SOZ, posted on February 10th. So is that one's running right now, and then you're going to start the new one after that?
That one's running right now. What they have to do is when they come on and they fill out their character bio, they just need to mention what player directed them here. And then we tally up all the players mentioned, the person with the most, well, they win.
What kind of, do you have any extra DM utilities or tools? Like, do you have a text-based system, or do you use, like, DMFI tools for your DMs?
Oh, we have the DMFI and the PC tools, of course.
But they are slightly altered, aren't they, Matt?
No, but we did add such that you can dynamically change how the encounters work. So if you have an event where you want to add more or different features in an area, you can do that on the fly, and it will work normally.
Is there any set time that would be best to show up at Obsidian Shore to play in a game run by some of your dungeon masters?
I usually start running things around in the afternoons, anytime after 12, I start trying to run stuff. I don't always get there, but, you know, I try to run at least one event a day, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, you know. But when I was really up with it and I wasn't having all this home stuff going on, I don't know, for some reason, four kids being home during spring break, you know, that takes away from my time some.
I bet. Is there anything that any of you would like to tell the community?
I just think that if you're into a hard role-playing server, you should at least stop by and give it a shot. Fun time.
The only thing that I wanted to say is that we more emphasize role-play as opposed to this is going to sound really weird. We emphasize role play as opposed to role play. You know, we don't try as emphasize as much on the dice. We try and just go with the role play and go where that goes, you know. And all my events that I run it strictly through character interaction. I never have a plan drawn out. It's the players lead the event pretty much.
Well, hey, we appreciate you guys coming on the show.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time out.
I'm honored that you guys invited us.
There is a place. Share your thoughts and opinions.
Future projects.
And be heard by the developer.
Ossian Studios.
The Ossian Studios Forums is the place to go for all things Ossian, including the Mysteries of Westgate Adventure Pack. Check it out at OssianStudios.com.
I'm Alexander, a.k.a. Loot Skull, and I'm lead designer with Ossian Studios.
Code Poets, also known as Kevin Smith, lead technical designer.
This is Alan Miranda, CEO of Ossian Studios and producer on Mysteries of Westgate, and we are live. Join us at OssianStudios.com.
And we're back!
And we're back!
I see, you know, the IRCers are like, yeah, you'd never left. So, what have you got going on this week, Skunk?
Still messing with the Hunt Through the Dark, and I've been working on another computer, just putting parts together, trying to get it to work and such, do goofy things for evil.
For evil.
Mm-hmm.
I like evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Paladins suck.
Did you get the AME news?
Yes. Taibei from AME
is happy to announce that the Academy for Modding Excellence will be streaming the NWN1 Golden Dragon Awards finalists on Tuesday, May 12th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Liso, Michelle here, she will be manning or womaning the IRC channel where you could ask questions of the AME. And she will be fielding questions that folks will be answering at the end. And Darian and Taibei will be teaming up and announcing the finalists then. So come on and stop by and see if your favorite made the finals for the NWN1 Golden Dragon Awards.
So to put that in layman's terms, I will be copy and pasting. I went to school for that.
Yeah, so I wonder where they're going to hold the session this year.
Huh. I think Taipei's bathroom. It has good acoustics.
Hopefully there'll be like a red carpet where everybody, you know, walks through, you know, onto to get to the bathroom for the acoustics of his there. I'm probably going to be standing by like the front door with a microphone. Kind of like a satanic Joan Rivers. Joan.
Hey, I've got some exciting news. Did you hear about ASEAN? No? I thought I talked to you about it. Well, anyway, ASEAN Studios is going to have their own forums, a new website design, which was designed by Johnny Ree. The forums are going live sometime tonight. I know that they've been crunching and working at getting it released. And I thought that was pretty exciting. And we have a really nifty commercial that's going to be in Friday's show. So. And I will make sure you guys have the link in the show notes and all that stuff to get to the forums. Go over there and register. It'll be up live just in time for Mysteries of Westgate to come out.
I'll log on to that right away when they set that up. So that'll be on Tuesday, tonight, Tuesday the 20, what is today? The 28th, yeah.
Yeah, it should be up live sometime this evening.
Yeah. Same as Mysteries of Westgate.
Yep, it'll be out sometime, downloadable after midnight tonight, I assume.
Yeah.
Midnight somewhere, anyway.
Yep. Yeah, there is a lot of doubting folks that Mysteries of Westgate was going to be released this month, but a lot of the digital download sites right now have it ready for pre-orders.
Okay, I don't mean to make this joke, and it's true, and I think Skunk and I were talking about it just a little while ago. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to pre-order a digital download?
Like they had run out of some game boxes for it.
I mean, do they run out of streaming? Bandwidth? Do you have to stand in line?
We don't have no more digital copies of that to sell. We're out. We're sold out. Oh, other news with the chat commands for version 1.23. Brian Mayer Design, the IRC, pointed this out to me. On the Neverwinter Nights Citadel project website, which is becoming a new popular persistent world gathering site for Neverwinter Nights 2, there's going to be some chat commands for version 1.23. And it's working with the beta. Folks, if you want to toy with the beta and give some feedback, there's a IRC beta chat room to discuss things, where a lot of folks from the community are gathering there and trying to bug hunt and such on it. But this chat commands enables a lot of features with like sim tools, meta channels, and channel blocking and ignores and the like. And there's a lot of dungeon mastering features to it as well. So I'm very wickedly looking forward to that myself.
Johnny Reed just posted in the IRC that it is available in Europe now. It has gone live. It is downloadable. Mysteries of Westgate. Yep. Click on the link. You can see. Well, it is the 29th there.
Yeah.
We're living in the past.
So, folks, if you're already playing Mysteries of Westgate as of Friday, or as the time that you're hearing this episode, please feel free to end up messaging into our forums and tell us what you think of Mysteries of Westgate.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, go over to Mal's new forums Ossian's new forums and give them some encouraging words. Tell them what you think. They are going to have help for any questions for Mysteries of Westgate, even Darkness Over Daggerford. And technical questions will be, you know, available and everything else. So I really think you're going to get some good treatment over there, some real individual treatment.
Oh, yeah. But also stop at our site, too. We'd like to get an idea of what, you know, a lot of people's reviews are, to comment over the show.
Several of the Ossian team members are moderators over there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got good hands-on assistance.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling there's not going to be any bugs or any technical issues with this. I just gut feeling. I bet it's going to be a smooth playing game.
I personally didn't have any, but, you know, it's systems are different. Everybody, you know, there's so many different systems out there that a bug could creep up. I played it twice through and never had one glitch.
Yeah.
And I believe that Johnny didn't have any glitches with it either.
Yeah, the only glitch I've ever had playing Neverwinter Nights, aside from multiplayer, which the latest patch is supposed to be working on a lot of multiplayer features. But there's a part in the original OC where talking with Lord Nashor, there was one of the demon fellas, like during like the cutscenes, still beating on a guy, and it was really kind of, it was actually humorous, because while the guys are talking, there's like this grunting in the background, beating on the knight, forgot his name, but, oh well, that was the only thing, but it wasn't really, it didn't really bug me, it was entertaining, you're like, ugh, guys trying to talk, and all of a sudden, I'm waiting for Beyond the Pale to contact me with a game code for getting Mysteries of Westgate.
You are?
Yeah. Yep. I won a contest. I was a judge for that crafters contest thing.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't getting enough participants for it. And so I decided, okay, I want to step down as a judge. Now I want to participate, you know. And when I made a real simple thing that anybody could have beaten. Even if you use a spell checker, you could have beaten my thing, but I want it by default.
Well, there's the pride.
Yeah, there's the...
Is that kind of like me winning sexiest voice out of default?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time finding any pride in that.
Well, you're pretty positive that you would win the most sexiest voice.
I said it was Trey.
Oh, yeah, it's Trey.
And nobody agreed.
Nah. No.
Maybe because we had a room full of males.
Yeah, there is a lot of fellas here.
Yes, definitely. Well, now we can take comments from... yeah, Taibe, thanks for that. Any comments from anybody listening? You just had to repeat it, didn't you?
Sure. It's not too vulgar.
Gloggerbot, do you have anything to add?
Come on, Gloggerbot.
Oh, see, Trey's not here to say. Nobody has anything to say.
How do you think that people will respond to after they play Mysteries of Westgate?
I think they're going to get upset that they had to wait 18 months for it.
Yeah. But what do you think people's response will be after they play it?
Well, my response was positive, and I'm actually quite picky. Tyree wants to be first in line for digital download. Stand over there.
Oh,
Anyway, I personally think that it won't disappoint. There is some amazing artwork done, the custom models that were done, and the tile set and everything, the quest, the story, everything. I really think people are just going to enjoy it.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sure you can't make everybody happy, but I do believe that the percent of people that will be happy will be much higher than not.
One of the things that I'm eager to see, because I've seen just bits of it in the trailer, is the combats over ships. Now, usually, it's always been just, you know, spawns on top of a ship. But I want to see, actual sailing ships and end up connecting and fire cannons in like a QK's King for a Day module where you get to play as me. There's a wicked combination of a ship battle that kind of expands a little bit more than what a lot of other adventure modules out there have for like ship to ship combat.
Hey, it's Axe. Is it just Axe or is it Axe Murderer? I don't know.
Sorry, I got company coming in here, and I'm gonna say I'm doing a show. But Axe showed up here?
Well, it says Axe. I assume it's Axe Murderer, but I'm not entirely positive.
Most likely is.
Oh, he says he's, you know, Taipei safe. Come on out.
Huh. That's when he'll get you. Well, Adam Miller's Dark Waters 2, I seen only the video for it. I got up to the point to get there to use the sailing system, and it didn't work for me at the time. I wonder if it works smoothly now with the latest patches. I always wanted to see an elaborate sailing and combat system. It's yet to be done.
Yeah.
Oh, we sure breezed through the news quite too well. We should have flubbed it up.
Sorry, guys, but you did a too good of a job this week.
Yeah, not really too much editing required for this.
Well, yay me.
Well, I think we've been on for over an hour now.
Yes, I think we have.
And before we talk about other off-the-wall things, tell folks to. Well, until next time, folks. Get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Hi, this is FFDJ, and congratulations on your 100th podcast, and it's Peer, South Dakota, as in Peer of the Realm, or Jury of Your Peers, and please no more off-color jokes by Skunking. Sorry. Anyway, congratulations again. Goodbye.
Thank you.
pretend to headbang here.